As you just heard, KJZZ aired the second part of a series about the Navajo Code Talkers. The first part told the origin story of the code, and in the second part we heard how the Navajo Marines developed the code, risked their lives, and kept it a secret. And with us now to talk about the series, The Miracle That Ended the World's Deadliest War, is KJZZ's Fronteras Desk reporter, Laurel Morales. Laurel, good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
There is so much great history to this story. What made you want to do this story now?
I've been reporting in Northern Arizona for 16 years, and in that time, I've heard about the Code Talkers, and I've actually had the privilege to meet a couple of them. A while ago, I produced a story on the last original Code Talker, one of the 29 who developed the code, Chester Nez. And after the first 29, the Marines recruited about 400 more, and now there are only a few left. So I've been writing a lot of obituaries lately, and it seemed a really good time to tell their story to honor their legacy.
Indeed, the timing does seem right. You interviewed one of the last Code Talkers for your series, along with the children of Code Talkers. You also talked with historians and found archive tape. But as always with stories like this, something ends up on the cutting room floor. Was there something there that you wanted to share with us?
Yeah, so I interviewed Gary Sandoval. His father and uncle served as Code Talkers during World War II. And when his father, Merrill, was alive, Gary asked him all sorts of questions about the Marines and the war. And he told me what it was like for them.
They never received mail and things like that. He says they would, the Angle kids would line up. They would couldn't wait for mail call. And all the Navajos would just hang back because they would never get anything. He said that he got maybe two or three letters in all the time he was overseas, but it was handwritten by the trader.
So because Navajo is not a written language and many older generations didn't know English, they would, his parents, Merrill's parents and other parents of Code Talkers and the Marines who fought in World War II, they would go to the trading post and tell the trader what to write for them. And another story Gary shared with me, he said that the trauma of the war didn't seem to bother his dad until much later in life. And he remembers his dad telling him about arriving at Iwo Jima.
When he first crawled up on the beach, he went into a bomb shell, and there was two, like a sergeant and a lieutenant that were in the bomb shell with him. And he jumped in between them and said, hey, you know, man, it's terrible and all this. And he looked at them, and they didn't answer him, and each one had a bullet right between the eyes.
Gary's dad and all of the Code Talkers weren't allowed to speak a word of the code for two decades after the war. And then finally, in 1968, the military declassified it.
Now, you also interviewed other people for the story. Who else stood out as far as that goes?
So former Navajo Chairman Peter McDonald, he was a Code Talker, and he talked to me about what that was like to keep it a secret and about that time around 1968 when it was declassified. He said he just, you know, told his mom or anyone who asked what he did in the war that he was a radio man.
Wow.
After 1968, when people became aware of what we did, we began to realize, at least me, hey, what we did was not just a radio man. We did something that's super. No one else could have done it except us. Our stories coming back to us, like the only military code in modern history never broken, save hundreds of thousands of lives.
Now, Laurel, we understand there's an effort to build a museum in their honor. Can you give us any sort of progress report on that?
Peter McDonald and the remaining Code Talkers want to build a museum. They want to preserve this unique legacy for their children and grandchildren. Former Code Talker, who recently died, New Mexico Senator John Pinto, was a big part of that effort. And just before he died, New Mexico's Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham and lawmakers from both sides of the aisle appropriated $1.2 million to build the museum. And Lujan Grisham said, if we don't tell this story, it will be lost, and this is a story that we cannot lose.
From the KJZZ Fronteras Desk in Northern Arizona, that is Laurel Morales. We've been talking about her series, The Miracle That Ended the World's Deadliest War, about the Navajo Code Talkers. Laurel, thanks so much for the time.
Thanks for having me, Steve.